Welcome back, UFOFers and freaky fandomites, to another episode of the Fortress of Fandom podcast. The podcast where tonight, two cousins sit around and talk about nerdy stuff. I'm Garrett, the host, and tonight I'm joined by my cousin, Jasmine, and we're going to be talking about a couple movies that we kind of grew up together on. Like, I think there was quite a few times I'd come over to your house and we'd end up watching this, or it was on TV or whatever.
We spent a lot of time watching the movies and it was great. I still use a lot of the lines from them today to my kids.
Yeah, it's got some, definitely has a lot of quotable lines. The movies we are going to be talking about are Ghostbusters, the original one and two. We'll briefly talk about the 2016 attempted reboot, and then the Afterlife teaser trailer that we've all seen, and kind of some of the things that might go on with that movie. But before we get into that, I have a couple iTunes reviews to go to read. The first review that we have this week comes to us from Josh Meehan. He says, great show. Great time listening to this podcast. It's chill and discussing a ton of stuff that I'm into. Keeps me up to date with cool shows and movies. And the next one that we have today comes to us from Kinda Nerdy Girls. Fans who are fun. As fangirls who prefer our fandom to be fun and funny, this podcast is a great listen. They give you some good info, but also fun perspective on things happening in the nerdy world, and they keep it positive. So happy we found this show. Thank you very much, both of you, the Kinda Nerdy Girls. They have a good podcast you should go check out if you get the chance. So thank you again. If you are listening to this and you haven't reviewed us on iTunes, go ahead and hop over, give us a 5-star review if you would. Helps us get noticed, helps us get the algorithms and all that other technological stuff that I don't understand, but hey, it helps. And then before we get into our Ghostbusters discussion, we have another promo to play from our friends over at Realms and Nerd Podcast, and I will edit that in here.
Hey everybody, this is RJ,
Ash,
Ray,
Brandon,
Harrison,
and Bronson.
We host a Dungeons and Dragons podcast called Realms and Nerds. Some highlights of our show include wreaking havoc in every town we visit,
blowing up hot tubs,
killing off fan favorite characters,
high necromancers,
inappropriate wedding etiquette,
and every now and then, actually good storytelling.
Join us in the realms of Prydia for fun fantasy adventures. You can find us on Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or just about wherever you get podcasts.
All right. Let's get into it. Ghostbusters. I think this is definitely a classic movie. Like, there's no doubt about it. Like, I don't think there's really anybody who doesn't like the original Ghostbusters, at least. Like, there's really nothing not to like about the movie.
I actually work with several teenagers down at our store, and I can't tell you how many of them didn't know that there was Ghostbusters before the reboot.
I said, oh gosh,
freaking
Gen Z's, freaking kids, my gosh. Yeah, so Ghostbusters, the original, came out June 8th, 1984. Ivan Reitman, I'm sure you probably read this, but Ivan Reitman, I didn't know this before looking into this movie. He's only given like 13 months total to make this movie. And when he first pitched the movie, he didn't have a script. There was no script. Like, it was just an idea that he pitched that Dan Aykroyd had come up with. And anyway, he pitched the idea to the people at Columbia, and they asked him how much it was going to cost to make the movie. He took the cost of his previous movie, Stripes, and times it by 3 and came up with $30 million. And they're like, okay, you got 13 months. And they were able to do it. They were able to. So crazy. Like, that is like in movie making time frame, like that's an insanely short amount of time.
Right.
Like, that almost never happens ever. And like, especially for something, for a movie to be done and you know, be an instant classic like it did, they caught lightning in a bottle for sure on the first one. Like, crazy. Dan Aykroyd, he originally came up with the idea. He originally came up with the idea for him. It was going to be a movie with him and John Belushi. Cause they had just, they had just done Blues Brothers a few years prior, and he was coming up with this idea. I'm sure a lot of listeners probably know Dan Aykroyd's, his expertise, I guess, in the paranormal. He's like a paranormal aficionado. He knows a lot about a lot of paranormal stuff. His family actually held seances in their family barn for generations, I guess, I don't know, crazy. Like, so I'm sure he's seen quite a few things in his day. He originally came up with the idea for him and John Belushi. And unfortunately, John died before they could get this, anything going, before they could get the movie going. So Bill Murray obviously was the replacement for him. Did you know that Bill Murray wasn't the first pick, though?
I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I was reading that paper that I printed out, and then I was like, whoa. I couldn't see anybody other than Bill Murray playing that part.
Right. Yeah. Bill Murray, he did like all of them, really. They were all perfect in their roles. But there were a few other choices before Bill Murray was picked. Chevy Chase was one of them. Michael Keaton was another. They both turned down the role. Michael Keaton was actually offered the role of Venkman and Egon Spengler. Like, he turned them both down. So thank goodness. I don't know how that.
You could choose anyone other than Bill Murray.
Someone else. Definitely not. It definitely wouldn't have had the same feel. There was a lot of, a few other, kind of different casting choices before they landed on their final cast. Rick Moranis, Lewis, he wasn't it wasn't originally supposed to be Rick Moranis. It was supposed to be John Candy, which I don't know how that would have worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. It would have been definitely different, especially I watched Ghostbusters yesterday with the commentary, and Ivan Reitman, he was saying John Candy was wanting to do like a German accent and go all like crazy with it. And I was like, no, I don't think you get it.
That's not what you're looking for.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So yeah, that would have been different for sure. I like wrote all these tidbits of information and facts and stuff, but I didn't put them in any order. So it's like all over the place.
Well, speaking of John Belushi, I thought it was kind of cool that they paid homage to him by making him a big old scary green
with the goat. Yeah. Being Slimer.
Slimer. Like that's a, cause he was always a Joker and a
crazy
person. So that's why they threw all the cigars in Slimer's mouth and just gave him that party look. Like, oh, they were paying homage to Belushi. I thought that was kind of cool.
It was really cool. I did read that Dan Aykroyd, said that was their kind of a homage to John Belushi. But I did also read that the prop crew and those who had to wear the suit, they didn't lovingly refer it to John Belushi. They called it Onion Head because it smelled so bad. Yeah.
So that would have been horrible.
I'll bet, yeah. Yeah. Ghostbusters was the highest grossing comedy of all time. Until Home Alone took its place in 1990, it grossed $240 million domestically, which in today's terms is $580 million when you count inflation. So that's like pretty good even by today's standards, like especially and for a comedy.
$40 budget?
Yeah. That's
good.
That's insane. I know. Yeah. If you were to kind of do the same kind of math, that would be 70 million, give or take. Still quite the take home. They didn't know that it was going to be Ghostbusters. Like they had some other names for it. Ghost Smashers and Ghost Blasters were a couple of the different names.
Who are you gonna call? Ghost Blasters.
Yeah.
I guess it works.
Yeah, it could have. Well, the funny thing is too, like, so they had these different takes of different parts with the different names, but they ended up during production, they ended up going with Ghostbusters. And they had, when they're outside the hotel and the crowds are chanting Ghostbusters and all that. After they went with that, and after they wrapped, they ended up having a little bit of legal issue with a company called Filmation, because they had a TV show by the same name. And so there was like a minute there that like Ivan Reitman was kind of scared that the whole thing wasn't like, it wasn't ever going to come to light because they went with Ghostbusters instead of anything else. So that was, I mean, that could have been a bad day.
Yeah.
Some more about the productions and kind of Ivan Reitman's fears. He said that he had, like, for most of filming, he had a really good feeling about everything, especially like when he first saw the Ghostbusters in full, you know, full gear running through the, they did a, the first thing they did, they shot was a, that montage. And he said he saw them running down the street, and he said he had a good feeling about what they were doing. The only thing he said he was scared about was Stay Puft. He didn't think that Stay Puft was going to be well received at all by, I mean, it makes sense. Like, yeah. Yeah. That would be, I know. I don't know. Crazy. That was, I mean, yeah, it makes sense though. Like, he didn't think people would take it seriously. But he did say that, during early screenings, people actually, like, they responded really well to Stay Puft. And like, there were some people that were actually, you know, kind of scared about Stay Puft. And so he's like, okay.
Just not going to be able to eat marshmallows again.
I know. The Stay Puft, I think I read that the Stay Puft, they made 3 suits, and each suit cost $20,000 each. And all 3 of them ended up being destroyed during filming. It's like, I don't know, pretty crazy. But, I mean, it's all worth it in the end. They made a ton of money.
Yeah, they blew their budget out of the water.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of special effects, I thought it was kind of cool that it's kind of like the same deal with what's it called, Star Wars and their special effects company that they had to create to do basically what they needed, because I mean, same kind of deal. They were looking for special effects companies and nobody was available, and so Columbia kind of forked the money in to start this new one, and they hired on Richard Edlund, who at that time was a 2-time Oscar winner for Star Wars, A New Hope, and Poltergeist. So, I mean, he obviously knew what he was doing.
There are those movies.
Yeah, to both those movies are. Sorry, his Oscars were for Raiders and Star Wars.
Again, sorry, was that right? But didn't he work on Poltergeist?
He did work on Poltergeist, and Poltergeist freaked me out as a kid. Like,
it still freaked me out today.
Yeah, it was crazy. It's crazy. I didn't know this, but a lot, like 90% of the commentary or the dialogue in Ghostbusters is ad-libbed. Like, they hardly stuck to the script at all. Like, there was pretty crazy to find out. I didn't notice this, and I didn't know this, but Lewis's party, it's filmed in a whole, it's a single shot from the time we see him giving the lady aspirin or whatever to the time where he throws the coats on the dog, and all of that is Rick Moranis just ad-libbing. Like, he didn't have a script, like, he didn't follow it at least. And I mean, I learned that, and then when I watched it, I was like, holy crap, like that's amazing, because he's going into like tons of detail, not only about his clients, but like what, like actual tax and accounting stuff. I'm like, dang, dude, like, you
and just do that off the top of your head.
Yeah,
I could do it. I couldn't do it, so kudos to that.
I know, Rick Moranis, one of the greats. Yeah, freaking crazy. Let's see. Most of Bill Murray's stuff was ad-libbed. Like, I think in the commentary when I watched, they said there's like only two scenes in in the whole movie that he, like, he actually stuck to the script and used the lines that were given to him. Like, everything else was completely ad-libbed. I was like, my gosh, that's just insane. His quote, the quote, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. Like, it was ranked number 68 of greatest out of 100 of greatest movie lines in Premier magazine in 2007. I mean, it's not high on the list, but that's to even make the 100 list. Like, that's
right.
It's crazy.
Pretty awesome.
And then let's see. I thought this was kind of cool. After the film's initial release, to kind of keep interest going in the movie, they put out a commercial with a 1-800 number, and people could call it, could actually call it, and Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd's voice would be on there, kind of saying that, you know, they couldn't come to the phone right now, they're catching ghosts or busting
That's
ghosts.
That's awesome. That's a shame that I wasn't alive in 1984.
I know.
Because I would have called that line probably like 10 times a day.
Yeah, they said that there was like 1,000 calls like every day. It ran for 24/7 for a couple weeks at least. So, yeah, crazy, crazy. There's another, I read today that Sigourney Weaver, after the movie came out, she had a fire in her apartment, and called the fire department over. The firefighters came, put out the fire, and one of the firemen, like, he made his way over to her fridge and opened it up, and he's like, "Oh, you better call the Ghostbusters." that was kind of funny. Then
be like, why do you open my fridge, man?
I know, get out of my fridge. Walter Peck, the guy, I can't remember, hold on, the guy who played him, he also said, William Atherton, he said there was a time he was walking down the streets of New York, and there's like this tour bus going by, and somebody's like, "It's Walter Peck," and he like turned to wave, and they're like, and all of them were like, "Hey, Dickless."
That would be so great to know. That's like your nickname for the rest of your life. You're just walking down the street, and they're like, "What is up, Dickless?" And you're like, "Great."
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you, Ghostbusters.
Oh my gosh, so many quotable lines from that movie too. There's like, that one was a good one. Like, "Yes, Your Honor, this man has no dick."
No dick.
Oh gosh. Like I said, I can't remember the first time I watched this movie, because it was literally on growing up at least once a month in you know, your house or my house, whatever. Like, it was just,
we watched it a lot. We were Ghostbusters one year for Halloween with vacuums on our backs.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Yeah. Definitely, like I said, the first Ghostbusters, definitely classic, no matter how you look at it. And again, I just think it's completely amazing that they literally went from concept to full-blown movie in 13 months. That just never ever happens, and it never happens well. Never happens with a good result anyway. So
right, our favorite line is the line when Dan Aykroyd gets asked if he's a god.
Yeah.
Says no. And then they're like, if someone asks you if you're a god,
you say yes.
So I always say that to my kids, and I'll be like, "Jackson, did you clean your bedroom today?" And he'll be like, "No." And I'm like, "Listen, when someone asks you if you cleaned your bedroom,
you say yes.
say yes. And they just stare at me like, do you want us to lie to you? I'm just like, go away. I'm just disappointed that you are not getting my humor right now.
Yeah. So. Watch Ghostbusters again and learn something.
Right.
Yeah. So many good ones. Freaking Ghostbusters, what do you want? That one's funny. Janine, I guess, the gal who played Janine, Annie Potts, she, I guess she showed up on set one day, like she got the part, and she showed up. She wasn't supposed to shoot that day. She just kind of wanted to see what was going on, get the feel of everything. And they were shooting in the, doing something in the in the firehouse. And Ivan Reitman saw that she was there, and he's like, oh, like, come in. You can be a part of this scene. And she's like, well, I don't have a costume or anything. So I guess what she did was she literally, like, she went to the costumer and they, like, threw something together, and she took the costumer's big Coke bottle glasses and put them on, and, like, that was it. Like, she was...
Those glasses are iconic.
I know. And, I don't know. Yeah, it makes the character, too. Like, she definitely wouldn't have been the same without those huge glasses. She said she was, like, walking around half blind on the set, though, because she couldn't see anything.
That's hilarious.
is there anything else that you came across as you?
I just remember reading a couple of things about the special effects that went into it, and how you have Slimer when he was spinning around the chandelier in the hotel.
Yeah.
They couldn't get him to do what they wanted to do, so they spray painted a peanut green.
I read that too.
And they spun it around the chandelier. And then with the state puffed marshmallow, when they finally blew it up with their four streams, it was 500 gallons of shaving cream.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Ridiculous.
And they, I guess originally they wanted to drop like 100 pounds of this, of shaving cream on William Atherton, Walter Peck. And he was like, is that safe?
That's a lot of shaving cream.
Yeah. And Ivan Reitman was like, I don't know. I don't think it'd be that bad, but if you're worried about it, we'll drop it on the stuntman first. And they did. And it, like, knocked the stuntman to the ground. And they're like, oh, okay, we'll back it up to like 50 pounds. So like he's like, oh, it's a good thing we didn't drop it on him. crazy. So when they all, like, kind of come to after blowing up Stay Puft Man, and, like, Venkman's the only one that doesn't have anything on him. Like, apparently, like, they tried putting a bunch on him, and Bill Murray's just like, no, like, I don't want.
He had, like, one little speck in his hair.
Yeah.
And that was it. Yeah.
They're like, no, I don't want it. So they're like, and I guess Dan Aykroyd, on the other hand, was like, just lay it on me. Like, I want more. Like,
I want to bathe in
it. Yeah. Yeah. That whole scene too with Rick Moranis was all ad libbed. Like, all of his lines there were ad libbed. Trying to think of some of the who are you guys, Ghostbusters? Who does your taxes?
And Egon always had his weird little toys that he was, like, waving over people's heads.
Yeah. That was one thing that I forgot to mention, that he, excuse me, Harold Ramis, he didn't intend on, like, he only intended on helping write the film. Like, he didn't intend on actually being in it. He finally was like, okay, I'll be Egon, because he didn't feel like they could find anybody to actually fit the part. So he's like, oh, I'll do it. And I guess Bill Murray was always like teasing him about his hair, about his tall hairdo. He said he got married after they filmed the second movie, and it was a week later or something after they got done filming. And he said as he was like going down the aisle, you know, getting in place for the wedding and everything, Bill Murray was in the audience, and he's like, he said that Bill Murray yelled over everyone. He's like, hey, your hair looks great. Oh my gosh. Thanks, yeah. Speaking of Ghostbusters 2, go ahead and move on to that one. Some people say that this Ghostbusters 2, it's not as good as the first one, let's be honest, but there's a lot of people who don't like it at all, and I don't understand, because
I like it a lot.
I do too. Like I said, it's definitely not as good as the first one. But I mean, it has its issues too, but it definitely, I mean, it's a good movie. It's a good watch.
I was scared to take a bath.
Yeah.
For like the next like 2 weeks after that movie, because I was worried.
Yeah.
That definitely. Something other than water was going to come out of that faucet.
Yeah. I remember we used to live next to a creek, and one year we had a lot of water runoff. And there was a lot of dirt and mud in the water, and so that some of that came into our pipes, and our water was brown for a while. So like none of us like it was kind of like that scene when you filled up the bath, though. It was like, I don't know if I want to get into that.
The brown water starts coming in, and you're like, nope.
Nope.
Now.
there's a lot about this one I kind of knew a lot about the first one that we had already mentioned, but there's a lot of about the second one that I didn't really get or hear much on the second one. I guess I don't know. I thought was interesting that the term proton pack isn't ever mentioned in the first movie. Like, I didn't realize that until I read that. I was like, wait a second. No, I guess it's not. It's only ever mentioned in the second movie.
And then you have to go back and watch it, and you're like, no way.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, they don't ever call it a proton pack. You know, nuclear accelerator, positron glider. Like, they don't ever call it a proton pack. I was like, all right, I guess.
Interesting.
Yeah. I thought this was funny. The kid at the at the birthday party who tells the Ghostbusters they're full of crap, and he says, my dad thinks you're full of crap. And they're like, well, everybody has their own opinion. He's like, no, my dad just says you're full of crap. Yeah, that's actually Jason Reitman, Ivan Reitman's son.
That's hilarious.
And then the girl in Egon's experiment playing with the puppy, that's his that's his daughter. That's
Ivan. I knew Reitman. That
yeah,
I didn't know about the girl or and, the boy. Yeah,
and then Jason Reitman, he's the one directing and helping write Ghostbusters Afterlife, so that's kind of interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah, let's see, the fur coat that gets possessed and runs off.
Down the street.
Uh-huh.
Oh my
That scene was actually written for the first movie, but never, they didn't use it, so they threw it into the second movie. I thought that was kind of interesting. I guess the whole the whole initial concept for the sequel was like completely different. Like Dan Aykroyd, he wanted to go to Scotland. Like, yeah, his initial concept for Ghostbusters 2 was for Dana to be kidnapped by a malevolent force of some kind, and taken to Scotland, where she finds some ring or something that leads her to some kind of underworld, and they like they said something about them going through this 200-mile long tunnel, underground tunnel. Would have taken them a couple days, and going up against this whole underground army or something weird. And then, you know, he said, looking back, that probably wouldn't have worked and have been too big and too much work. So they stuck to New York. But they did say that because the first movie, they, you know, kind of were dealing with rooftops or skyscrapers, tops of skyscrapers and stuff, they wanted to kind of be more underground. And so that's why they put in the
River of Slime.
The River of Slime and the pneumatic, let's see, the pneumatic subway line. And that pneumatic subway line is actually based on a real pneumatic subway line that was built in 1870. It was only a couple blocks long, but it didn't last very long, but it was it's kind of a real thing.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Let's see. Ray, I guess, was one of the subplots of the movie was supposed to be supposed to delve in more with Ray's possession, with when he first looks at the painting and Viggo possesses him. There's supposed to be a scene in the middle of the movie where they're driving down the street and Ray like goes into a possession fit and, you know, kind of starts driving crazy and running red lights and swerving all over the place until Winston like clocks him or something. And that, I don't
know. Totally a Winston move.
Yeah, I know. but yeah, that whole thing got cut. So I know that's one of the gripes that some people have about the movie, is like he got possessed kind of out of nowhere at the end, like kind of and I don't know, that would have, I guess, helped explain it somewhat, I guess. I don't know. let's see. Speaking of Viggo, he's played by two people. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So the actor that plays him, he's a German, he's actually a German boxer / wrestler named Willem van Homburg. But he's actually voiced, they did some dub work, and the guy who did the voice of Viggo is Max von Sydow. He's been in, you know, a bunch of other classic horror movies like Exorcism and drawing a blank now that I said that. But yeah. I guess that Willem von Homburg he didn't know that he was being dubbed over. And so, so he like was pretty pissed at the premiere and like stormed out of the theater, like mad.
Wow.
But I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Let's see. In the script, the original, when the Titanic kind of sails in, that they, the original idea was instead of the Titanic, they wanted the Hindenburg to be the Hindenburg, to be the ghost ship and kind of flying around New York. I was like, that would have been kind of cool the Titanic was a kind of a cool visual with all the ghosts coming in.
And they just get off the ship with their suitcases.
Yeah. But the Hindenburg would have kind of been a cool visual. Let's see. So there's a lot of things that I kind of picked up on too, kind of researching this, about some things that, maybe why it didn't do as well as the first one. And some of these reasons, some make sense, some of them don't, maybe not as much, but the movie lineup for 1989 was like insane, I guess. So there was like not a lot of opportunity, I guess, for Ghostbusters 2 to shine as much. Because they had Batman came out like 2 weeks after Ghostbusters. And then also that summer, they had Back to the Future 2. They had Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Oh, geez.
They had Lethal Weapon 2, 007 License to Kill, Nightmare on Elm Street 5, Friday the 13th 8, Star Trek 5, The Fly 2, and Karate Kid 3. All of those came out in 1989.
Wow.
Like I said, there's like...
That's a lot of competition.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of room for them. A lot of competition to go up against. A lot of other people think that they tried making the movie too much like the cartoon because there was, some obvious changes to some of the characters and the overall tone of the movie. Like for instance, Janine's hair, like they changed her hair, dyed it red to make it look like the cartoon. Slimer being kind of the
I love Slimer though. He's like the classic ghost.
Yeah, he is.
When you think of ghost, you're just like, yeah, Slimer. That's where my head goes every time.
Yeah. Slimer. let's see. What was interesting though is after Ghostbusters 2 came out, they added Lewis Tully to the cartoon. He wasn't in there before. It was kind of a deliberate decision because the cartoon was doing so well. Aykroyd and Ramis, they decided to kind of tone down the innuendo and they made the Ghostbusters didn't smoke in the second one. So I don't know, kind of interesting, some of the choices that they decided to make. But some of those choices are why Bill Murray hated the second movie. he didn't like the tone, I guess. He thought there were way too many special effects. He said that they deterred people from the characters and I mean, the special effects were kind of cool, especially for back then. But he said that he felt that they took the spotlight, I guess.
Yeah, I did hear that. I did. I think that was like a Facebook thing, like 15 people who regretted the roles they played and or the movies that they starred in. And I think Ghostbusters 2 for Bill Murray was one of those.
Yeah. for a long time, too, he said that he wouldn't. The only way he'd ever come back for a third installment is if they killed off Venkman and he came back as a ghost. Like, he's like, that's the only way
I'm coming back.
Yeah. So there's a lot of, that's a, you know, why the third one hasn't been made up until now. So
you hear that from a lot of actors who come back for movies so far down the road. They're like, yeah, I'll come back, but you have to kill me so I can't come back again.
Yeah. I mean, well, and part of the reason why they made a second one, I mean, a lot of like Aykroyd and Ramis, they didn't really want to make a sequel either. But there was a lot of pressure from Columbia Studios. They wanted them to make a second one really bad.
First one did so good.
It did. It's good as its own movie. That, I mean, if they were to leave it there, it would still hold up just as well as it did. But they were also Aykroyd and Ramis. They were also kind of scared that if they didn't do it, you know, the studios might give their idea to somebody else and let them make a second movie. So they would have rather, I mean, that makes sense too. Like,
yeah, do it it's themselves. My character. I don't want someone else to play my character.
This is kind of cool. And kind of makes sense. Vigo, the Carpathian, he's actually based on Vlad the Impaler. And
I did know that. That's cool. Crazy to me.
Yeah. There was one other person he was kind of based on. Rasputin. He was based on Rasputin too. And then let's see. one of my personal favorite characters of the second Ghostbusters, Janosch, however you say his name, Janosch, played by Peter McNichol. He basically, like, he read the script, and he was like, he took it on upon himself to kind of come up with a backstory for his character. Like, he was actually supposed to be Jason or something like that. But he's like, no, that doesn't really make sense. So he came up with his backstory and renamed his character to Janosch. Made it so he was from Carpathia, kind of give him the background of Vigo. He kind of knew Vigo's background. He came up with his crazy accent.
And he was always so descriptive with what he was talking about.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun to listen to him talk because he has that crazy accent and he would just go off on like describing something like the painting and the lighting and you're just going off on this painting and you're like, I have no idea what you are saying.
Your accent so funny. Crazy. Where are you from, Janosch? The Upper West Side? No. No. So good. He said he got inspiration from Meryl Streep, one of her movies. I'm kind of trying to think where, but I'm drawing a blank. But you can thank Meryl Streep for his accent.
I can almost see it.
I know. So, oh my gosh. He's like him and Louis Tully in Janine's like their relationship in that movie. Like those are like some of the best parts of the movie too. Like,
yep. Agreed.
when they're babysitting Oscar. Oh my gosh. Like freaking funny. Anyway, that whole scene where they're making out and he's like not
they're the best babysitters.
Yeah. So Ghostbusters 2, like I said, definitely not as good as the first one, but in my opinion, still a great movie. If you were to like switch them, if like the second one came out first, and the first one came out second, like it would have been a whole different story for sure. But, I mean, it is what it is. And yeah, took forever and we got a reboot, that, you know, we'll talk about it, but
we don't want to talk.
I don't really want to talk about it. And it's, I mean, it's a movie. That's for sure.
I haven't seen it since it was first available on like Redbox to rent. Like that was the last time I watched it. Cause I was like, I have to watch it just to watch it. And I haven't watched it since. And I probably will never watch it again.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a horrible movie. Like, don't get me wrong. It's not.
When you think of it as its own standalone movie and just totally throw out the two before and you say there is no Ghostbusters 1 or 2 and this is its own standalone movie, if you think of it that way, then I guess it's not horrible.
Yeah.
There are some good things about the movie. But I don't know. I'm just not a big fan. I told my husband that the only good thing to come out of that movie was Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth, yeah.
He plays a pretty good nerdy,
like a stupid, dumb blonde
assistant.
I mean, I get why they decided to reboot it, because Bill Murray, you know, they were trying to get a third one off the ground forever. Bill Murray didn't want anything to do with it, so they're like, all right, well, you know, we'll try again, reboot it. And like I said, it's not bad. It's not horrible. I think really the reason why it didn't do as well as the original Ghostbusters is because the original Ghostbusters, if you were to take away the comedy, it would actually be kind of a really scary movie. Like it would be kind of frightening. But you add the actors that you have in there and, you know, you obviously have some great comedy moments in the movie, and there's a lot of other scary movies, that are the kind of the same way, have a lot, of, you know, they hide the horror underneath some comedy. One that I, let's see, did you ever watch Cabin in the Woods?
Yes.
That one's one of them. Like that one's got some scary moments in it, but it's an overall hilarious movie.
I think I laughed probably like 85% of that movie. It's hilarious.
I did too. We rented that one thinking it was, you know, going to be straight up horror movie. And I was laughing, you know, 15 minutes in, and Katie's like, why are you laughing? I was like, it's not supposed to be funny. I'm like, but it's hilarious.
I know it's not supposed to be funny, but it is.
Yeah. So. the Scream movies, like they're really, you know, they've got some scary movies, but like, if you watch it, like as a comedy, it's actually really hilarious. Like, the whole series.
What's his face? I can't even think of his name now. The policeman, the officer guy.
Yeah.
He makes me laugh and yeah. scream every single time. Every single time I watch that movie, I'm just like, oh, good grief. No.
Well, I mean, Scream's supposed to be kind of a spoof on slasher movies as it is. Mm. But another one that you should watch, I know you won't, but you should watch it, the It movies.
I already know what you're talking about. I will not.
Like, I love yeah. those movies because – not just because it's, you know, this they're scary, whatever, but like the comedy in those movies, like they're it's some of the best, especially the well, both of them have, you know, good parts, but the first one with just the kids, like the kids pull off some of the best comedy that I've ever seen, ever.
I haven't even seen the original one. I just can't.
You're missing out.
I must have had a really traumatizing experience as a kid with clowns because they scared the crap out of me.
You're gonna have to do some psychotherapy sessions with you and make go full on Clockwork Orange.
The
and
only way I could watch that movie is if you sat me down on a chair and I glued my eyes.
That's or what, yeah.
My get, eyes open.
Like, Clockwork Orange, like get them.
Get yeah.
The eyelid spreaders and.
Yeah. No.
It's hilarious. Like those movies are hilarious, and they're also, you know, some of the scariest movies I've ever seen too. So I think that's kind of what made Ghostbusters so good is because it was scary. That I actually remember. I now that I think about it, one of the they had two concept props for the librarian when she transforms into the scary part of her. They ended up going with the more mild one because the first one they thought was too scary.
Yeah.
Which actually they used the other one that they didn't use in Ghostbusters and it actually got used in Fright Night. Which is another one that's, you know, scary and hilarious at the same time. Again, I think that's kind of why the first one worked so well. The second one didn't work as well because they kind of lead more on the comedy and the lightheartedness of it. And then the 2016 one obviously tried to go full force comedy.
Yep. That was the difference it wasn't scary with comic parts hidden in. It was full comedy with scary parts thrown in. Like, yeah. It was.
And the special effects in 2016 they're great. Like if they had those back then, like Ivan Reitman even said, you know, we're kind of limited to what we had to work with as far as effects. But that even their effects, you know, still hold up. He's like, 2016, you know, the ghost effects, I loved the visuals of the movie, but like I said, I don't know. The comedy just wasn't there to.
It was too much comedy that you didn't get a break from it. It was just mm-hmm. comedy on top of comedy on top of comedy. And it was just, that was like the whole thing. It was just like one thing after another and you didn't take a break to be like, okay, now it's the movie part. It was just, you're like, when are you going to break this up with not comedy and put some seriousness in there? And they never did.
Exactly. So yeah, I didn't really look into that one a whole lot because I didn't really want to. But
you're so biased.
I know. My kids like it. And so, you know, if it's on Netflix or whatever, I'm not going to say, no, you can't watch that.
Right.
And it has some funny parts. Don't get me wrong. Like there were some parts when I watched it, I kind of chuckled and laughed, but it's just like, it didn't have the same feel as the first one. And that's kind of my theory is, you know, what we just talked about. It was a comedy, not a horror as a comedy. So, thankfully, they decided not to continue on with that one.
I don't know how well a second one would have done, considering how well the first one did. I don't know.
They would have had to do some major work on it. Like,
right.
So that brings us to Ghostbusters Afterlife. And when I first heard that they were doing another Ghostbusters, I was like, no, they're beating a dead horse at this point. Like, let it go. Like, don't. Anyway, I found out that you know, Jason Reitman, son of Ivan Reitman, is
writing
and directing, and he says, I watched an interview where he says he considers himself to be the very first Ghostbusters fan, because he was there, you know, on set with his dad in the first one and the second one, and really kind of got to see everything going on. And
that'd be so cool.
It'd be way cool.
That'd be cool to just live through that, like watching it come to life and then directing the next stage of it. Yeah. Like, it's cool.
It'd be way cool. So he's got his dad to kind of go back on if he needs help or anything. But I'm really excited to see what he brings, because the trailer looked awesome.
I heard almost everybody's making a surprise. Mm-hmm. Like, not a surprise, but almost everybody. Harold Kumis isn't. No, what's his name?
Harold Ramis. Yeah.
Harold Ramis isn't, and neither is Rick Moranis.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed about Rick Moranis, because, like, really, he's just as important. I mean, he was kind of a goof in the second one, but he's like just as important of a character as right. The rest of them.
But I think those are the only two that aren't coming back, right? Everybody else is.
I think so. Yeah. Bill Murray's coming back. They're even going to pay tribute to Harold Ramis too. Because I mean, there's a lot of like theories and stuff about the trailers. Basically what everybody has kind of come to the conclusion is that the house that they are in Oklahoma is Egon's house. There's and this is why I think this movie is going to work, because it's connected to the other ones. I didn't write this down, and I'm mad that I didn't, because the mine that is in the town by the house, I think even the house itself was owned by something Shandor, and that name is mentioned in the first movie. He's the architect who designed and built Dana Barrett's apartment complex, the Gozer worshiper. I'm excited, because there's definitely going to be a lot more. Like,
it's like throwback to the first one.
Yeah, a lot of throwbacks.
Kind of like how Jurassic World did a throwback to Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
They made it this feel like, hey, look at
this. Yeah, just
a throwback. We're bringing in moments.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I have a feeling that we're gonna have to go back and watch the first and second ones over after watching Afterlife, just to kind of be like, hey, that's where that connects. I mean, you've also got Finn Wolfhard who's been in it, chapter one and two, Stranger Things. That's another one that works, you know, as going back to our horror comedy thing. You've watched that, haven't you?
Good show.
Yeah. Oh yes. Okay. I was going to disown you as a cousin.
Have if you I had... watched? You were going to disown me.
Finn Wolfhard. I can't remember that. I mean, there's a lot of good names, but you know, the two that are going to make this great, well, they're going to at least help, Finn Wolfhard and Paul Rudd. I was like, okay.
I'm excited to see Paul Rudd in that movie. I'm a Paul Rudd fan.
I am too. Like he's.
I think from the very beginning to now, I love Paul Rudd. Mm-hmm. I just don't think he. I can maybe pick out one or two roles that he's done where I've been like,
Yeah.
But for overall, he is. I enjoy watching Paul Rudd.
I do too. My wife likes him because he's from Kansas City. She's from Kansas City, so yeah. he's a Royals fan and a Chiefs fan. I think obviously he's a Chiefs fan, but yeah, Paul Rudd, he did it with Ant-Man. I don't know that he's a comic fan, but he definitely took the parts of Ant-Man that were important and, you know, kind of studied the characters, and, you know, brought that to the screen. So I know he's a Ghostbusters fan. Like there's no way that he can't be a Ghostbusters fan.
Right.
And so,
and if you're not a Ghostbusters fan, you're just crazy.
Yeah. yeah, exactly. So he's definitely going to be bringing a lot to the table with this movie. And with this whole COVID thing, Jason Reitman, he said there was a thing, video on YouTube. What is it called? Reunited Apart. Did you get to watch that? It just dropped a couple days ago, on YouTube. You'll have to check it out. It's pretty cool. He gets Josh Gad. He gets basically the whole, well, not everybody, but a lot of the, actors from Ghostbusters, he gets them on a Zoom call. And
I did hear about this, but I didn't watch it. What's it called? Reunited Apart?
Mm-hmm, Reunited Apart. And the Jason Reitman was on there. He said that he had, you know, because of the pandemic and everything, they gave him a little more time to edit and stuff. So he's like, I'm kind of thankful for that. He better have it perfect, you know,
right.
Couple months come around. the only person I think who wasn't on that Zoom call was Rick Moranis, unfortunately.
I'll have to watch it now. It's probably what I'm going to do before I go to bed because
yeah, it's really good. It'll be a good time. What's his name? The guy who sang the theme song. They even had him on there. I can't
think of it. Now that you've asked me, I can't think of it either.
Yeah. He came on and he sang the song, actually.
That's cool. I like that song. I have that song on my iTunes playlist. And I make my kids listen to it all the time, and it's a good song. They're like, no more. Enough is enough. Because I'll just put it on repeat.
I think it was number one for like, number one song for like, I don't know, like 3 months or something after the movie came out. Afterlife. Looks amazing.
Do you think Bill Murray will get his wish and get killed off?
I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. I don't know. I wouldn't be opposed to seeing a Bill Murray ghost, I guess.
I still think his best death is Zombieland.
Yeah, Zombieland. for sure. anyway, yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. Ghostbusters. Let's see. When does that? When did they say that?
2021. I just saw it. June. No.
Really?
I could be wrong.
Let's see.
I'll have to make a point to come out and we'll go see it together.
Yeah, for sure. Afterlife 2021. Man, I'm bummed that they pushed it back so far. Expected March 5th, 2021.
March 5th. That's earlier than June. That's better. That's Jason's birthday.
Nice.